guys, welcome back to the Bottomless Banter podcast. I'm your host, Maggie, and today I have two special guests with me. One is returning, and one is a guest that I've wanted on my podcast for so long, and I'm happy he's here now. So yeah, I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, it's Tanya. I'm back again for another episode. I'm very excited to be here today, and I know you guys are so excited, like, to hear the contact that we come up with. I just know.
Hey, I'm Roy. I'm the very, very special guest that she's been wanting on. I'm a student.
And you should plug yourself too.
Student, creative, artist, anything to do with that, I'm there. Or photographer as well.
Yeah. That bitch, basically.
Yeah.
I think you should talk louder, because unana venye my thing, yeah, you can see it. Yeah. So your spikes need to be higher.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. You need to talk a bit closer. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so today, guys, for our episode, we are having a glass of wine. We are not going to plug the... I decided not to be plugging the company so that in case you get a sponsorship. All right, so let's have a cheers to the episode. Clink, clink. And yeah, so today for the episode, I decided to call Roy and Tanya because I feel like we can relate to each other a lot. And the topic of today will be living and navigating Australia as immigrants. And we are all we all come from Kenya. So that's why I think this episode would be so funny and so fun. Because, we have the similar experiences. Yeah. And if we have different experiences, we'll be able to know and maybe understand each other. So I think it's going to be a fun episode. So should we just get right into it?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yep.
Okay. So... things I knew before I came to Australia. Things I wish I knew before I came to Australia. So what would you say you wish you knew before we could go to Australia?
So let me tell you guys. Is it my second, third week? I had to print out something.
Mm.
And I think I told this to Roy. But when you need to print out something back at home in Nairobi, you just go to a cyber. So I start asking my cousin, hey, kuna cyber? Is there a cyber cafe? I can just quickly print my stuff and leave. They're like, no, they started laughing at me. So I don't know. I feel like there's some things that are very easily accessible. If you want to go buy something, and then also shops close too early.
5 o'clock.
Five. Why?
In Canberra, Sazingine, they even close earlier. And I'm like, people don't like money here.
For a first world country, it's surprising.
Yeah.
Because about Kenya, the shops can go till 1 a.m. in the morning.
Literally. And you're just what are you doing? I thought this is a place where capitalism is running through. You're just living fast.
Yeah.
A kombe living fast means you just wake up early.
Yeah.
And you leave early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's one thing you wish you knew before you came to Australia?
It has to be paying tax.
Wow.
I never thought at my young age I'd be paying tax at
God,
all.
God, it's true. I never thought about that.
Tax was a foreign concept for me. It was my dad, my mom pays the tax, so...
Ata Kenya watu wanalipa tax.
Watu lipa, lakini si...
I mean, you just file nil returns at your age, so... Yeah, paying tax was, mind-blowing for me.
I feel for me, one thing that was hard for me, I wish I knew, is that working is hard. Unajua?
Yeah.
Kasa babu, when I came, I was oh my God, I'll work... I'll do everything, I'll get a job, I'll go to work, come
You're
back
ready.
Home. Yeah, I was excited. Yeah. I love when Kikujapa, I realized that the ground between is different. When you work, you get tired. Sometimes when your parents tell you, oh, I'm so tired from working, can I say, no, when I get a job, I'm going to be working, I'm going to be doing this and this.
Yeah, no.
You get so tired because back home, I never worked. I never did nothing. So I realized that kufanya kazi and the money that you get from work is never enough.
That's so true.
100%.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you have to pay for your rent.
Expenses.
You don't pay for rent, though.
Yeah, I don't pay for rent, but...
Roy, do you pay your own rent? Ningumu.
What? I do.
So zingine kuna siku, like sometimes when I didn't have a stable job and I was working like here and there, I was doing like childcare and aged care.
Yeah.
Because I was working 40 hours a fortnight as a student.
Mm.
So zingine, like I was so scared that I wasn't able to pay the rent. Now, I've never had that fear of being homeless mpaka nikakuja Australia. Kwa sababu back home you have your like you don't pay rent kwa sababu your parents own the house. Alafu ukikuja, like even if you get chased away, you have family that you can go to.
Yeah.
Lakini here, because you're all alone, it is a fear that I have. Like sometimes I'm like, if I'm not able to afford my rent, man, I can't be homeless.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I didn't know when I was coming here.
Yeah. And you pay rent weekly. So
yeah.
Like, that is really, that's crazy. That's crazy.
You get like weekly. I never
concept to my friends and they were like, are you serious?
Yeah. Oh my God, it's true. Like it's when crazy. I came and I was still per week, I was like, what do you mean per week? Even getting paid weekly or fortnightly is a concept I knew
100%.
Here. Yeah. Kenya, you never knew about that.
Okay, yeah. I kind of knew like of weekly pay.
Wages,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but then I did not know about your rent.
No, I didn't know.
Hey.
And like, let me ask you guys one thing. What's one thing when you came to Australia, you were so shocked, you were like, wow, this is so, it's awesome.
Mika, the parks. Wow, I love the parks here. Like,
yeah. Actually.
The nature here is so good. I feel like it's one of the reasons I'd like to stay.
Yeah.
The wildlife here is so good. Like, you're just going to unwind in the park just makes you feel better. It makes you feel like it's worth it after all this struggle.
Yeah.
You're just unwinding and just chilling. I don't know.
I'm not a nature person.
What?
I'm spending when that's a nature.
Surely at a park.
The bugs can bite me. No, I like being in the house.
Indoors.
I'm not a nature. Are you for nature?
Yeah, 100% nature as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Nature is amazing.
You guys just fit together. Because it can never be me. Me invite me in a house, not to go to the park or wildlife. Even that's one thing I struggle with a lot with my job. Because it's very outdoorsy.
Yeah,
something in there. I'm supposed to go to like the bush to do stuff. Now I'm younger, my boss, Aki, this one is not for me. Because like sometimes bugs bite you. So you have to do this.
I know. Sipping
your stress. But
even me, I don't like bugs biting me. Hey,
yeah.
I mean, who likes discomfort?
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, just being closer to water, even if it's the beach.
Oh, the beach, I like the beach.
Exactly.
I like the beach, but not like the mountains and bushes.
But I don't
like
the beaches here. The beaches here are too aggressive.
Compared to the ones in Kenya?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Did you
the waves.
Yeah.
The waves.
Yeah.
No, aggressive. But I feel like the beaches here are cleaner than Kenya.
Obviously,
but it's not white sands.
But then,
yeah,
it's not the white sands.
It's not. It's not.
Aki wallahi,
I just miss home.
Yeah. I feel like one thing that amazed me when I came to Kenya and when I came to Australia and don't laugh was the self checkout at Woolworths.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Even when my mom came, I listen, what? You can actually check out yourself?
Mom is also Opal card guy. Yeah. Like the tapping thing. I remember my first time like entering the bus and I was with Sheke. Sheke is my cousin.
Mm.
Evelyn, who was in the previous episode.
Yeah.
So we're entering the bus. And I'm like, where is the slot to put in the card so that it can activate? And the bus driver just starts looking at me funny.
No, like at a uku, like
wireless, like
everything is just so technology.
Easy.
And like when I came to Australia, you know, when you go to the mall in Nakama, sometimes the shops are closed. Mm. They just leave everything outside. You know, like let's say for example, wanafunika uku nilisema ukienda Nairobi wache vitu hivyo hakuna venye
utaiba. Watu wanaiba.
I was so amazed. I was like, oh my God, people are leaving their stuff like this. I was amazed. I was like, wow. And the roads are so clean as well.
Mm.
That's one thing I was like, wow.
The environment in general.
But would you, if you were to compare the life here in Australia and the life in Kenya, what would you say? Like
Kenya.
Tell
easy.
Me two pros and two cons.
Wait, he hasn't answered.
Oh, you haven't answered, yeah.
I don't know. I have to say, even though I hate this, I think the system works.
Yeah.
In terms of like government, Yeah, like your tax is actually, you see the work for your tax. Yeah. So stuff like what? Council, like just garbage collection.
Yeah. Yeah. Things that actually work and people actually pay for. Now you have a new one.
Yeah, stuff that matters. Stuff that matters is actually.
Like, let's think about something that I, like that one that you said, garbage collection. Aki Kenya. Yeah. Utalipia garbage. Okay, where I live, unajeni naishi Eastlands, like, Utawala area.
Yeah, yeah.
But not Utawala, Mombasa Road, upper Mombasa Road, that's where we live. Mm. And like, they pay for garbage collection, but in a job for Australia, the way the truck comes in a collect in a mwaga. Ukoni watu wa mkokoteni wanakuja ku collect the garbage.
True.
No. Nasema unalipa over 5k. Nasema what is this? You know what I mean? Yeah, I feel like they're scammers and Kenyans. Like I feel like kila mahali
they find an easy way out. Yeah. Panya route too.
Yeah. It is so funny, but I'm so amazed with how like Australia is. Ata, one more thing, guys. Unaona pa Australia venye ukivuka barabara, like when you're crossing the road. Mm. You don't you know,
you just
wait for the thing to turn green and it's like everything has a system, even the traffic lights, driving traffic system. Okay, Kenya, you have traffic lights, like nobody follows the traffic lights.
They don't even own.
Have you guys driven in Kenya?
I haven't, nah.
When I went back to Australia, I was driving a bit when I was home. Because with that, I just got my driver's license.
Yeah.
And then when I went back in 2019, I was driving. And then, you know, in town, I don't know when you're coming from, do you know Jogo Road?
Yeah.
Mm.
So Jogo Road, there's a roundabout that you have to come in so that you can enter town.
Yeah.
Where there's no traffic lights, there's a traffic policeman who's standing there, but he's on his phone, he's not doing anything. Yani, you have to fight your way in the traffic. And that's something I appreciate about Australia. The traffic works, everything has a system. Tap, tap, tap.
Honestly, but at the same time, I don't know, I feel like it feels too controlled.
Yeah, that's what I also don't like.
I feel like there's someone who's making too many decisions for me.
Yeah.
Like I don't.
Yeah.
Surely, saa kungoja hiyo light. You know, other times you even wait for 10 minutes.
Alafu unajua, I think you can get arrested if you're caught jaywalking.
If you're caught jaywalking.
Yeah, yeah.
Me, sometimes I go.
It's a bit of in a niche to anger. Like everything, like I don't know. Yeah, I get what you mean. But
even like leaving the club early.
True.
And the way they chase you is so rude.
Yeah.
Even the way that they welcome you to the club, like I don't know, there's not much hospitality.
Yeah.
And that's also something that shocked me.
Yeah.
People are not as hospitable as they say Australians are until you come and experience some things. Like people are whatever.
I feel like for me, how I can explain that is like maybe in the workspace. Sometimes like you expect like, oh, when you'll find friends at work. And I feel like it's harder than you think. Like I don't feel people are as friendly as you said, like as you assume they are.
Not even
I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
Also, even in school, like how hard is it making friends in school?
Because everyone has their own cliques already from like high school and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's hard to like go there and just enter like people's groups.
But still,
I mean,
like,
everyone knows someone from their past.
Yeah.
That can't constantly be an excuse.
Yeah.
Of not being able to be friendly, surely.
Yeah. But I think one also thing that I appreciate, one last thing about Australia is I can walk with my phone without feeling like somebody's gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In the car in Nairobi, yeah. I'd literally put it under my thigh when I'm opening the window because I know what's up.
Yeah, because you can be in a matatu and then it's so stuffy.
Everyone is
squeezing.
In your space,
and then you just want to open the window so I can get fresh air. But if you open the window, someone can steal your phone. So
not just your phone, your wig, anything. Anything that is snatchable.
Mimi Sujai, wigs.
Anything,
but you know,
snatchable.
My mom was telling me that yesterday. At his art, people can steal wigs. I was like, how can someone steal a wig from your head?
It's
crazy.
You snatch it.
It's pulled. You'll never see it again.
Oh my
You'll
God.
Never see it. Go on a job interview, forget. if you're going to do something important, forget about it.
Like, but I feel like the life in Kenya is hard and easy at the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like the people are much friendlier. It's easier to interact with people.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's just a sense of community back at home.
100%.
But here, I don't know if it's a westernized thing where it's every man for himself. Like, truly, you will feel it.
Yeah.
It's very individualistic, like, do whatever you want.
It's as not a community-based country. Exactly. Yeah. I get what you mean. Because I feel like here, even if I have a neighbor next door, I can still die of hunger.
True.
You get what you mean? Yeah. Like, you're by yourself.
Be in trouble. And everyone will just mind their business. Yeah. Like, they'll look at you for sure.
I have an example of that. When I was in Canberra, at first I bought a car. It was 1,500 bob. You know, it was the first car I bought. And like, unajua, like, because when you're back home, I didn't know how to change oil. Mm. I didn't know at ECG you're supposed to check the engine light. I didn't know. You drive the car. So like, I was driving the car and then, the oil thing was on, but I didn't know what it meant. I just thought, okay, I don't know. And then nilikuwa na drive asubuhi. I was working in aged care at 7 a.m. I was supposed to be at work at 7 a.m. So at 6:30 a.m. I was on the road.
Yeah.
Nikafika kwa highway. And my car started sasa. And then I just had poof. And then you could see the smoke on the on the highway. Nilikuwa naona smoke. Alafu hapo tu nimekaa nikasema wewe. Like you don't have anyone. And then you know the thing is, I was standing on the highway and people could see that I am struggling.
Kwanza kwa highway kila mtu ona.
Yeah, like someone, and let me tell you, not one person.
No one.
So I put my car on neutral. Alafu nikaisukuma peke yangu. Imagine. Baka like on the edge of the road kasi sababu at cause traffic and not one person. What? But unajua, in the same thing, I was with my friend Alicia, we had gone to Kenya and the same thing happened. But sasa there's something that ilikuwa inahitaji kuscrewa vizuri, but it happened.
Done.
And then it stopped in the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. Imagine it didn't take 1 second. So everybody just helped us push the car on the road. And like, you want us to call a mechanic? I was like, wow. And
then, but did you have to pay them something small? Or?
No, not really. I didn't have to pay something small, but you know those people who linger around.
Yeah.
But I ended up calling my dad, and then my dad came and fixed the car.
Yeah.
Like, the people who linger, but there are people who, like, you can't stay on the roadside like that and nobody will not help you.
Will not help.
Mm. For sure.
Yeah, there was this time we were using a new route because we were going to Malindi for holidays.
Yeah.
And, like, we got lost.
You drive from Nairobi to Malindi?
Imagine.
Hi.
I know.
That's a far drive.
That's like 9 hours.
God,
even more.
But you know, I don't understand why people now say I can't drive from Sydney to Melbourne, because sababu Sydney to Melbourne is driving from Nairobi to coast.
Yeah.
Continue.
So like, we got lost, and this man was like, "No, we ask, my dad, he indicates, and he's like." My brother, unaweza tusaidia.
Yeah.
Aya nifuate tu. We just follow his border.
Yeah. But sa zingine you can traffic, follow them alafu wende.
Obviously
witchcraft.
We give him something small.
Yeah.
But then it's always the fact that someone will always be there to assist you.
Yeah. That's one
always.
Thing I know for sure.
Like, and it just makes you think, like, really, do I want to stay in this place? Because such things, sometimes you feel very alienated.
Yeah, the first time I came to Australia, like, the first 1 week I was excited. I'm from home.
Yeah.
I'm abroad, guys. Yeah.
From the flight.
Because you know that one, like, when I wanted to snuff myself at Jomo Kenyatta Airport. Peace out, bitches.
Kwaheri.
I was so excited when I got to Dubai. I was excited to eat McDonald's. Because I'm
Ooh, facts.
The first thing I got to Dubai, I ate McDonald's. I made sure, okay, guys, I've eaten McDonald's. I was so excited. I love how nikafika pa, Australia, I was like, where? Okay, this is looking a bit different from what I anticipated it to look like. Because maybe it's the first week. Let me just chill. It's going to get better.
Me too.
Week two. Oh my God. this is not what I was expecting, especially when you go to uni and I was living on campus.
Yeah.
Nearly can expect, oh my God, you're walking. Because my uni campus, it was nothing like what they advertised. Because
yes, diversity.
Yeah,
multicultural.
100%. Yeah. Multicultural. And then when you see those US campuses, nearly can, oh my God, there's going to be parties every night. Mm. There's going to be this. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have the
that
best time.
Yeah. Accommodation will be lit.
When I went there, nilisema, oh my God, what am I doing here? Kwanza rooms, they were not that clean. They were not that nice. Because matter my room in Kenya, Africa, the third world country, is so much better compared to you. Even when my mom came to visit, she was like, where? Is this the life that you're living here?
No, it's actually ghetto.
Yeah, it was ghetto, so ghetto.
Yeah. Here is ghetto.
And then I stayed week three. I cried the whole week. I cried.
I was homesick.
I was like, I want to go back home. I called my mom. I was like, Mom, Kwanza, I was so traumatized because I didn't know how to catch the bus. Mm.
Oh, yeah, so, you called your mom.
I called my mom because you're supposed to wait for the bus at ECG at 1:30. At 1:30, the bus comes, unangalia the route on your Google Maps to see where you're going. When you jump in, unapanda matatu, unasemba mi, naenda town. Ukifika town, unasemba tao, 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 unashukisha. Like, it's not anything like all...
Not at every stop, basically.
Every stop. So me, I was looking at Google Maps, but I don't even know where I'm going. So I'm just looking. And then I found myself, I've gone like 30 minutes out of where I was going and I didn't know what to do. I called my mom in Africa. I was like, Mom, I really can't do this anymore. Like, I want to go back home because I was so traumatized. And I don't know. It just didn't feel like it's ever going to feel like home. Hapa Australia.
Yeah. It's so true.
Another thing is like how they use Facebook a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Facebook is such an old thing. It's crazy.
Even in Kenya, we have Facebook Marketplace.
People don't use it in Facebook at all.
I didn't know Facebook Marketplace existed till I came here.
Bro, I had to like open a whole new account for
my Facebook is so dusty. Ata ukiona inakatu mzee.
I lost my account password, so I couldn't even delete that thing.
Nah, like Facebook, everybody uses Facebook here.
Everybody, yeah.
Like, God.
Even if you're looking for new roommates, if you're looking to rent a place,
100%.
If you're, I don't know, looking for what event.
And guys, Facebook. Even the concept of living with other people, room share.
Yes.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't appealing for me until I saw that rent.
No, but like,
you know your rent.
No, but like in Kenya, maybe I don't know. Maybe we are living in a life where I don't know. But in Kenya, I never knew that people who don't know each other can live together. You know how, like, here you can look for flatmates, people online. You live with a stranger.
No, I feel like also, I don't know, back at home, it makes sense for you to be very skeptical.
Yeah.
From everyone's, you know, point of view. You just want to distance yourself from everyone until you're like, okay, I'm fine enough to trust you. And even sometimes, like, you'll find that you've been done for that.
Yeah. But so I don't know. I feel like living with people is still hard for me.
Very hard.
Have you lived... No, you've not lived with someone. Roy, have you lived with someone like a flatmate?
Yeah, I did live with some Kenyans when I first started moving out. When I moved out from uni accommodation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I moved in with some Kenyans. It wasn't the best.
What would you say was a hard experience?
The hard experience has to be, I mean, we are very, I think we are just completely different from each other.
Mm.
So it was always, if I did anything to them, it was like, what? This guy, are you even Kenyan? Really? Because like, this is not even like in part of our culture or, you know,
like
how we just.
They judge you.
Yeah, they were really judgy. Like, I'd say in terms of how I dressed.
Yeah.
I surely...
sorry to say, but shamba.
Yeah,
I feel like,
Because like,
if you're not into,
there's some people who approach you on campus and they're like, you're Kenyan. And I'm like, yeah, how did you know? Oh, nilikusikia ukiongea Swahili kwa simu. Then I'm like, yeah, I'm Kenyan. Oh, you look like you've stayed here for a while. Then I'm like, why so? Oh, because of how you've dressed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm just like, how do I dress?
No, I feel like some people, you know, that's one thing I thank God about coming to Australia. Because, like, your mind, like, I feel like it depends. Your mind is not opened up. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, you can't say that for everyone.
Not for everyone.
A lot of people in Nairobi are very expressive with their clothing. True. Very very creative.
Yeah, and you have to realize that even if we think Nairobi is a big space, it's a really tiny community.
That's true.
And the people who come here in Australia or go to other countries, most of them, some of them are not even from Nairobi or from cities where it's normal to like be liberal and express yourself with how you dress and how you think. So like some people, like even like, so the, you know, sometimes how I wear short stuff, people will be like, oh, Yeni, Kwanini, how are you dressing like that? Don't you feel comfortable and stuff? And I'm like, oh, you're not gonna find a husband, shit like that. I'm like, how does it concern you?
Literally,
how
I dress? Even if I don't get that husband, now what?
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it doesn't, like, I feel like people's opinions are very different, especially from your background and where you come from. So it's very hard.
Because even like working out for me was like a freaking issue.
Yeah.
It's
working
like,
out.
Like going gym.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean you're going to the gym? Like,
no, you didn't like going to the gym.
Nah, I did like going, but like how
your roommates,
how the people I used to live with were like talking about it was like, just go, like, bro. You know, your feet already, you know, you're African, you're Kenyan, like, you don't have to...
That's
to
a very weird way of thinking.
Yeah, it was so backward,
That's a very weird way. That must have been a weird experience.
Very weird.
Where did you get them on flatmates? Am I a friend of a friend of a friend?
Nah, exactly. Yeah. And then it was like, I didn't have any other option at the time.
So yeah, sometimes like, when you have to do it, you have to.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's cheaper, of course, if you're splitting rent and all that. Yeah. So. You just have to move in, and of course you're not working as well.
Yeah.
Then when I got my first job again, it was like, oh, so this guy's now getting money again. You know, it was just like, just jealousy, like.
Yeah.
Body's first guy is now buying stuff. He's like, you know, he's doing good for himself. Yeah. It's like,
And it makes me feel very scared, like sometimes when you're living with people. Wow. And then like, especially like I had a situation where I was living with roommates and... Yeah. Sometimes when you disagree with your roommates, you know how your house is supposed to be like your safe space.
Exactly,
you come home, you distress, you like let it all out because already there's a lot of noise outside. Yeah. When you come back home, it's supposed to be calm.
You just want to relax.
But when I came back home, I was so tense. Nikama, like, oh my God, I wish I just stayed in my car. Or like, because you don't, you know, when you 100%. Go home, it's already other stress. You feel so agitated. I just, you know, when I left, I was living with two roommates who were making me feel so uncomfortable. Like everything you do, like there's a roommate I was living with. I had woken up in the morning. I opened the curtains, right?
Yeah.
And like I worked till like, you know, I think it did a double shift and I finished my shift at 11.
Yeah. Mm.
So like, obviously, if you're back home earlier than me at like 5 or 3, close the curtains and let's move on with life. So she left the curtains open. And then when I came back home at 11, you know, when you're so tired, you just want to go home, especially if you have an early morning the next day, go into your room, clean up, go to bed.
Yeah.
I left the curtains open. She messaged, you know, that roommate group chat. I hate it. She's like, oh, you've started leaving the curtains on, like leaving the curtains open, like you're becoming very irresponsible. I'm like, oh my God, like just closing the curtains.
Yeah.
It's not that serious. Like, it
like you guys all share space.
Yeah.
You guys are all responsible for that space. Yeah. I mean, if someone was responsible enough to open them, maybe someone who is also responsible can close them. I mean,
it's true. It makes the environment in the house so tense. And until I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to live here anymore. So you remember when I told you guys I went back home in 2019?
Yeah.
I packed everything. Packed my clothes and took it to my friend's house. Yeah. I love when they went back home, I never returned to that house.
Yeah.
Like, I went back to Kenya. And then when I came back in August, I moved out to back to campus. Because Sababu, at least on campus, I was living in my studio. As myself, I don't want. After that, I've never lived with... No, I've lived with one person here in Sydney. But I moved out after 1 week. Because Sababu, I just couldn't.
A week?
Yeah, because when I was coming to Sydney from Canberra, they had advertised the room to be something so different from what it was.
What was it?
Because it was a 3-bedroom house, and then we were supposed to share it, like we share a bathroom and everything. fine, you know, fine. Because I'm in a new city, it's fine. Like, I'll just do what I have to do to get by. But when I came, the room that they advertised was literally like a small cube. Nothing of mine could fit. It was like a storeroom, and I was paying $380 a week.
Ain't no way.
Nikasema, what? No way. Even that money I can use to like to make my own house and stuff. Yeah. So I was just like, I just like, as soon as I got there, you know, when you know, I left noodles on the bench. That girl was like, unpacked, not cooked. I've left it cooked there. I was just unpacking, and you know, during the time for unpacking, everything is so stressful.
Yeah.
And she was like, excuse me, you're not supposed to be leaving everything like on the counter. Like, hey, after that week, I knew, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like, just stay with my money. I'm just gonna move out. And that's when I decided to find my own place. Like, I don't know. That concept of living with people is hard for me.
It's actually hard, yeah.
What would you say is the hardest, like, thing you've faced here in Australia? Like, what are some of your hardships here in Australia?
I think interacting with other people, like socializing with them.
Mm-hmm.
What other thing? There's something I was meant to mention. Okay, that's all I can remember for now.
Roy, what would you say?
Mm-hmm. It has to be like getting used to not being around black people all the time.
Oh, yes. That's what I was going to say.
True. Yeah,
you knew you felt black here in
Australia. Yeah, for the first time I was like, yeah, I'm actually a black person.
You're a nigger.
Yeah, because like it's...
But at least here in Sydney, you see black people here and there. When I was in Australia, I need to spot a black person. In Canberra.
Yeah.
To spot a black person is so hard.
Yeah.
I felt like, where?
Same it's for so me, yeah. White. Same for
and
me.
And then also like when you're on dating apps.
I've never used a dating app here in Australia.
Yeah. Have you guys used a dating app?
Right. Yes.
You'll be fetishized. You'll be fetishized for days.
I usually have to write in my bio for days. Our preferences on people of color.
Yeah. But we were going to speak about that, but it's okay. I've had an experience that I felt like, oh, this guy, I was like his kink or something. Because it was like,
You are.
I met this guy at the club, and then, you know, like, I had freshly broken up with him, and so I was like, you know what? I'm out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here today.
Energy.
And
yeah.
Like, today I have to. So that guy, I saw him, and like, oh, yeah, we started hooking up and stuff. I was like, okay, cool. And then he got a hotel in the city.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, I've never had a one night stand. So I was like,
the hotel one.
And you know, there are people that it's somebody that I don't know. Yeah. So I was so scared. I told my friend Alicia, like, babe, like, call me in case anything happens, you know. So like we got to the hotel, he paid, we entered, and then we started making out and stuff. And he was like, oh, are you like my chocolate queen? And then at first it didn't hit me, and then he was like, you know, you're my chocolate queen. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
You're a victim.
Yeah. Itakula, you know they used to eat black people.
God, he was like, are you my chocolate queen? And then I was like, I was feeling so anxious and nervous. And then Alicia started calling me. Because her phone was dying, so she was like, babe, we have to go, because we were in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And like, we are both not from Melbourne, so if our phone died, we'd be fucked. Like, she called me. And then I told the guy, okay, just a minute, my friend needs me, I have to go back to the club. So we went, he took us back to the club, and he was like, you have to come back home, because I've booked this hotel, so you have to come back. He was like, please, like, just come back, because I've already paid for this hotel, please. So I told Alicia, you know what? Okay. Alicia told him, I don't have a charger. Can you go get a charger? This guy was so desperate. He was like, my office is in the city.
No freaking way.
So he booked an Uber for me and Alicia to go to the hotel. And then he took an Uber to his office in the city to get a charger for Alicia. We get to the hotel. Me and Alicia sit down and look at each other. I told her what happened. And she was like, are you really going to do this tonight? I looked at her, babe. I was like, this is not for me. So we skedaddled. We went to the hotel. And then we ran. Let me tell you. We ran and didn't look back. And then this guy comes back to the hotel. Now, you remember he was getting his charger.
Yeah.
He comes back to the hotel and then he's like, he's messaging me, where are you? Like, what's going on? Just come back. Just come back. Oof. I'm like, no. Like, I can't. I changed my mind. And I thank God because I feel like I'd have made the decision that I'd regret.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Because the way he was choking me, he was like, are you like, I was like, guy, okay, if I die here today, my mom would be like, Maggie, this is how you are finished. I was like, no way, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was a very, like, I feel like fetishizing, it's so real.
It's so real.
Scary.
Have you had an experience?
Yeah, kind of. Like, this person that I was... this person that like I was hooking up with, like they'd always make an effort to mention that their ex was South African. Like, what does that have to do with me?
It's true.
So now what do you want me to do? Turn South African?
Yeah.
Or me be grateful for you for choosing me? I gave you a chance.
But you know the people who want to make it like seem like, oh, I've known an African who lived in Zimbabwe.
True.
Like, it kind of felt like that.
And they're
then,
like, do you know
no,
this?
No, honestly. And then other times that like they'd even mentioned that there was this time that they were with like one other girl who was Sudanese and they were asking like if he was into racial play. So obviously like he was weirded out.
The pressure and is getting worse.
And he was like, no, I'm not into that. But then he'd mentioned that every single time. So I'm like, why do you keep mentioning this all the time? Do you want me to be impressed with you that you're a decent human being or what's actually going on here? Yeah. So I was just over it. It was that white guy in Sydney, like I've been through it. I've had enough. I want to go home.
Have you had an experience where you've been fetishized?
I think so. For me, it has to be with like the pickup lines. Say if you're on a dating app, there's pickup lines that you just see.
Like
if they're gonna say, if they're gonna say something to do with say shoes, probably Jordans or something. I think because like you know Jordans are like
black
you know,
people.
Yeah, it's black people culture. So
I've never. I don't know
100%. Or like if they bring the one time, they probably just. Visited a country in Africa and
I hate that.
I don't know if it's fetishizing, but I don't think it is, but sometimes now I get in my head and I'm like, do you like me for my personality or do you want to get to know me just because I'm black?
I feel like I hate that. Or
I hate that
also if all the guys she's been with are black. That's a big one.
Honestly, oh my God, that guy was.
It goes both ways.
And like, let me tell you guys, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, and I'm not like judging anyone, but you know, those girls who maybe are not black. And all the guys that they're dating are black. And it doesn't matter how the guy looks like. You know, us black girls, like, at least you can tell, okay,
can,
this
yeah.
one
yeah,
is a
see.
Decent human
yeah.
being. But Uyu, like, as long...
They go for the bottom of the barrel.
As long as they're black.
Exactly.
And they try and hang out with... Like, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm like... And even sometimes they just try and fit in too much. I'm like, I understand maybe you want to, like... You love the culture or you love this, but sometimes, you know, like, it's a bit too much.
Or you love the people, but then you find a weird way of expressing that. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's so weird. But, like, when you're dating someone and then you find, let's say, even I would feel like, let's say it's a black person and all the girls that he's dated are white. Like, what do you, like, I feel like, and then the past, you're nothing that looks like the same as this person. So I'm like, why do you like me? You know, at least when you have a type, some people say, oh, I don't have a type or something. But sometimes I feel like you gravitate towards, maybe,
it's okay to gravitate to that. Because if it's your preference, fine. But then if you constantly, like, remind the person that you're with that you've been with this specific group of people, it just makes it look like you're being fetishized.
Yeah. Have you had a situation here in Australia where someone asked you, oh, in Kenya, do you guys have Wi-Fi? You have that?
Yeah, they keep asking me, not Wi-Fi, but they keep asking me like basic pop culture references. And I'm just like, how does someone not know this? What do you think happens in Kenya? What do you think happens in Africa?
People have such a weird perspective, perception of Kenya. Are we in 2022?
What do you think there is? We literally have all of these resources that you're using.
And one thing I hate the most is, especially like maybe we are going for a job interview and you're speaking perfect English. I feel like our English is so good. Yeah. Maybe, like, honestly, compared to other African countries, like
not even our, in comparison to Africa, even in comparison to local Australians.
Yeah, our English is, because we are very literate.
Yeah.
So when you go to a job interview, they ask you, are you from Kenya? Yes. Oh, it's impressive that you're speaking in English. Yeah. I'm like,
our official language is English. What do you expect?
Yeah, when they say you don't even have an accent.
Yeah.
Like, Now here's the accent.
Like, what do you
want to
hear?
It's so funny. I'm like, you guys, you're this old and you're asking me such a stupid question.
You're so ignorant enough to think that. Like, if you just did a simple Google search, you'd know that English is our official language.
We were colonized by the British. It's so funny. In uni, the first year that I went, I was WhatsApping my mom through WhatsApp call. And then the girl was like, oh my God, you guys have Wi-Fi? I was like, I didn't know that I could experience this, but I'm like,
the microaggressiveness is also very intense sometimes because it's so passive. If you're not fast enough or like just quick enough to notice, like it will pass you to computer too.
I feel like here in Australia, you know, like when you compare to places like the US where racism is so like
evident. It's racism.
Yeah, it's there. But here in Australia, it's very like subtle. Like you won't know.
It's the ones that hit you like 3 days after
I was profiled.
What really happened there? Have you had an experience where you felt like, I'm trying to think of an experience because there's been a few where I felt like it was because of me, like who I am as a person.
Yeah.
Yes.
Me personally, because like when I first came, I went to Central Coast.
Yeah.
And that's probably like same as Canberra. So it's predominantly white people, especially like the old people, because that's where they usually go to retire and settle.
Yeah.
I have to say it's probably like when I got on the train, it was like these smiles. Mm. You know how they just give you like a smile and then...
It's a weird smile that they have to do.
Yeah, if you look long enough, you actually catch their face like doing something weird, like disgusting. Yeah. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, it's true. Like even when I'm working on sites where it's predominantly white people, like, I don't know, I get nervous. Because I'm like, these people can shoot me here and I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you never know. Because, like, it's good to see a familiar face. Even if I see a black person and I don't know them,
I just nod in acknowledgement. I'm just like,
I'm like, oh, thank God I've seen a black person.
As in, honestly, I was also surprised, also because of the suburb that we live. Like,
in your suburb, there's no in my suburb,
many black people,
really.
She's in, out west.
Her suburb, you know, last week when you were dropping Evelyn, we went and it became foggy. I was like, are we going to Canberra? We drove.
Road trip.
I was like, it's a full-on road trip.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like here where I live, it's like, it's a lot of people of color. But I feel like even here in Australia, like when it's black people, they're mostly associated with like white trouble. Especially like, let's say for example, when you go to the club, like it's genuinely like, but okay, we don't do good for ourselves because sometimes, manzi, like we just fight all the time.
Yeah.
But But it,
no,
it,
it still shouldn't be profiled.
Yeah, profiled, yeah.
Because even white people, they be
the club that I work for now, guys, time. I can tell you, I'm not going to mention it, but for sure, there's no black people. Only, you could see one or two. Mm. Because, like, when they come, they're sent away. It's true. And I'm not lying, because it's associated with fights and trouble and all that.
Violence.
And violence. And I'm like, it's so sad living in, like, we're in 2022. I feel like one day we should get a country where it's just black people.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
If you're white, don't even touch.
Yeah.
Because, don't even come. We don't want your shit.
Yeah, and it's it's funny because, like other people, like, of other communities, they try and, like, jump on our... like culture and like,
and then when you're like, hey, this is wrong, this is appropriate, this appropriation. And then they'd be like, no, we're just appreciating the culture. You can appreciate it in a different manner.
I feel the like way they that appreciate you're doing... when it's convenient for
and then,
them
exactly. also, and then it's also the manipulation, the downplaying it. They're like, no, it's not this, it's definitely this. And who are you to say that? You're not black. You're not African. You're not able to understand the history. You're not able to understand the culture. Like, and if you do something in this way and someone corrects you, it doesn't, I mean, it just doesn't add up. Me, I don't know what's the issue.
But I was what are you saying?
It's like when they say, oh, you know, I'm a quarter black.
Yeah, you know? I'm quarter. My aunt, great ancestor.
I'm not white, black. I'm Irish. What's that?
And guys, listen. You know, when we say, when you're talking about males, I want a tall, dark, and handsome man. Me, in my head, when you say tall, dark, and handsome, it is a tall, black man, a handsome man.
Yes.
But do you know it's not that? It means tall, tan, you know, white tan.
Yes.
Yeah, tall, tan, with dark hair. With dark hair. So it's not black people. Because I even saw it, you know how I realized that? You guys, I don't know if you watch Love Island. And when they say tall, dark, and handsome, and then the people they gravitate to is tan. Not black, tan.
Damn. I don't see what darky, what okay.
No, but even the concept of tanning. Mimi nilikuwa nilijua, I came to know about that when I came to Australia.
You're lying.
I swear on my life.
You're lying.
There's literally like given tanning spray.
Oh, kujua kuhusu tanning.
Did you know
Nairobi?
Nairobi people are tanning.
No, obviously, just... like if you stay in Mombasa for a long time.
No, that one is fine. When it's the sun. You can tan from the sun.
Yeah.
But you know how people tan themselves to make themselves darker.
Orange. I didn't. How could you, Donald Trump?
I didn't know.
No, I didn't know that. Oh my God.
I didn't know that. I was so amazed when I come and people are using, like, they're using the tanning. I was like, wow. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Because I only knew it from, like, bodybuilders. No one else.
Yeah.
So.
Really?
Yeah.
You knew it from bodybuilding?
Yeah. Because, like, you know how those guys usually
look
like bronze or something.
Yeah, alafu wanapaka mafuta.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to be a bodybuilder, but I cannot go to the gym. No gym, uliko kisema.
But, like, one thing I appreciate here is the gyms are nice.
Yeah, the gyms are nice.
The gyms are nice. Like, they're so, like, nice. Kenya, I used to go to a gym. Where? That gym was so bad. When you run on the treadmill, you feel like you're going to fall down. I was like, it was so, like, weird. But I feel like it's because when I was coming in Kenya, I was living in, before we moved to where we're living now, we were not very well off. So we were living in a situation where it was just like, okay, the struggle is real, right? But I feel like that's what, like, in life, that is what, like, molds you to be the person that you are now. Because as we've struggled. My mom, before she started her own farm, she was selling mandazi hapo kwa barabara. So she was, like, selling mandazis, and then she was cooking, and then she was a secretary for a doctor. So in the morning, she'd wake up, cook the mandazis, sell, and then cook some more and go and sell them at the offices. You know, during lunchtime, who come with chai and stuff.
Yeah.
And then because she was still at Utali, you know that school, Utali?
Yeah, she was there.
So we were not very well off. We were living in Buruburu in a one bedroom. So we've come from so far. And then, like, now she was able to grow and... like finish school and then now start the company. And we thank God that it has been able to educate me now, yeah. even in Australia. You know, sometimes you sit down and think, oh my God, there's a time I was looking yeah. for money for yeah. milk. Yeah. Like we've come from far.
Damn, that's fire. So,
yeah. That's like far. We just like, you know, like the struggle is real sometimes when you're back home. And you sit down here, I'm like, what?
I'm grateful.
And the money yeah. too and for education here is not easy. Hey. It's so expensive.
And they can't even give us
and
like,
you know,
benefits.
People here in Australia, like, they don't take education seriously.
Yeah.
But I realized that in uni is not for everyone.
Yeah,
when and that's okay.
Yeah, and I don't judge anyone.
But you don't have to go through. I don't know. Also, it's the fact that Australian schools, like, usually rely on international students for, like...
Oh, my God. I tell you too, when,
fundraising
when I was
stuff.
Doing science, yeah... The things I learn in Form 2 is what they're learning in university.
Imagine.
I was like, I was cruising. I was like, what are these things they're learning? Because I did bio and physics and chem. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
three
sciences.
Yeah,
like... Billy?
Yeah, I just did two, bio, chem.
Which one? Bio and chem.
Yeah.
Physics and chem.
Yeah.
I dropped bio.
No. In high school, I dropped physics. In high school, I dropped physics and kafanya geography.
Oh, yeah. I also did geo.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
The cool people did geo.
But geography, I realized it was a useless subject.
Me napenda two crystals.
Oh, yeah. Like
mamawe.
But the there's education no system in Kenya and Afrika, like, they just wear you down. Because about the things we were studying, what is it? You, did you guys do CRE? CRE in high school was so hard. Like, you have to study the Bible. Fair enough, but I was... you highlight the Bible. My Bible was green, yellow, blue. Green, yellow, blue. Because you have to cram all of those things that you are you're studying.
Yeah.
But I feel like people here get it so easy when it comes to school.
Yeah.
Compared to
at
home.
At the same time, like, I don't know.
I think
the university is hard.
Mm.
Really? Compared to Kenya.
Yeah, for sure.
No.
I have not done uni in... back at home.
You went to Strath.
Mm.
How was your experience in Strath?
Oh my, God.
My brother was telling me.
When I tell you people are dropping out in first year,
yeah.
Literally the first year guys are dropping out. And you know, dropping out, like the concept back home of like dropping out is
taboo.
Surreal.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
And you may drop out.
Or taking a gap year.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to take a gap year to think about.
I took a gap year and like everyone is just asking, so what are you doing?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
What
like so what are you doing with your life all the time?
And then when you relax, your parents are like, sasa utakumeka tu kwa nyumba,
so
you're eating my food, sleeping, waking up,
you
eating.
Wasted one year.
What do you expect?
You wasted one year, your friends, that
but
one year,
the
Strathmore
experience, how was it?
Nah, I hated it, to be honest. It just starts with, like, from the dress code, honestly.
But like, I think you'd fit
code.
In.
No,
I mean,
not the dress code.
Really?
No.
Not every day, to be honest. I was fitting in. To be fair,
yeah.
I was because
I feel like your dress code is pretty cool.
Yeah, because, but like now
every day
you have to wear official like something smart
jeans.
Casual.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
jeans, no pants like
nothing.
Kwanza you can't
nothing.
Go what?
Nothing.
Like fashion cop.
Yeah, the fashion cop. So like if you're expressive already, Apple, you know you're like
Nishida.
You're limited
yeah.
already.
Or sometimes you just have like a figureful body.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
and
you can
wear
just...
tight outfits.
Exactly.
Or even
I wouldn't
tight official
be able to
pants.
Do it.
Yeah. So like if you're curvaceous, like
yeah,
and you know Shidako. It's like you're probably gonna wear khaki.
Yeah.
Of course, khakis will.
Is it a kushika?
Yeah, they're gonna hug you. So
my brother was telling me in Strathmore, like he was going crazy.
It is.
He was going
it
crazy.
Literally. Strathmore will drive you crazy.
Because he did 1 year of IT there. Again, Monday to Friday.
Excellent. That's another
morning
thing. Yeah.
to evening.
Morning to evening, yeah.
I feel like that's Nika something.
Shule.
It's like high school, yeah, exactly.
It's like, but I thank God for Australia in the sense where like, Australia, at least you have four subjects.
Four units only.
And I feel like people are
only.
Complaining here. When you say 4 units, I was like, what? Do you know in KU I was doing 8 units?
Yeah,
literally.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
I was doing 8 units and those 8 units, yani, they were hard. But at least one thing, but KU, the thing is, I feel like when I was in KU,
mm-hmm.
yani, I was feeling a lot of peer pressure. It's true because when I was in KU because I was living far from KU my dad rented me a house up at Karibu like in KU, so it was the first time I was living alone and like there was a club in school.
in KU. Western Sydney.
Yeah, there's a club in the school. So, like, you see people at night going to drink, going to party. Like, me, unajua, I've never been exposed to that, like, environment. I was so nervous. I was just like, okay, I want to try. But then again, I don't know. I was just so scared. I don't know. I wish I... Like, I tried, unajua.
Yeah.
But there's one time I tried and went to a club up for USIU. Because USIU was very close
to KU.
Yeah,
I stayed till the night. I was so, like, I was amazed. I was like, wow. This is what happened. This is university now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like in KU, people are very reckless. Like, unajua, start more hard structure.
Yeah.
And if you don't do anything, you'll fail. KU, there's ways where you'll pass. People are cheating in exams.
Yeah.
So, like, you can do anything to pass. People are paying the lecturers. But in KU, you'll never finish school.
That's a problem.
Strike. And there's a school I'll never step foot in. Thank God, is JKUAT. JKUAT is so dusty. Like, I went to JKUAT.
Yeah, Juja is dusty as hell.
Oh my God, my partner was in
Juja. Juja is dusty as hell.
Juja, yani, we went.
January.
Hey, the dust is like till like I was like no.
It's like snow. You walk on it, unatumbukia kwa dust tupu.
That's one thing I don't miss about Kenya. Sometimes, like at least here, when I wear my white shoes, they remain white.
100%, 100%.
No, but then you know what I miss?
Yeah.
And something that I really reflected on, and I was like, oh shit, like this is now a problem. Okay, since I like staying around nature, like I'm not able to smell when the rain is going to come.
Mm.
And I'm just what's this?
There's that specific smell.
Of the earth.
It's like, you can, it's like in a, I don't know how to explain it, but you can just like smell the rain.
Yeah.
The earth, literally, I was like, I'm smelling, like, imenyesha.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, where is the earth? Where is the ground
and
itself?
And you know how Kenyans are like, ijua, ijua ni mvua. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
I saw that on TikTok and I laughed. I was like, oh my God, this is so
true.
Because no one ever checks the forecast.
Yeah.
Oh
my God. I never ever checked the weather app until
ever.
I came to Australia.
Yeah. Me too.
Because
And then it's also the weather that's very bipolar. Like,
yeah.
Okay, bipolar is a very backward thing to say. But it's very, it changes a lot.
Yeah.
And I was also impressed with summer and winter and, I don't know, autumn. It amazed me because I never experienced it.
Yeah.
You know, in Kenya, there's rainy season and then there's sunny season and then there's what? So, So here, when it's summer, like, it's hot, right?
Yeah.
And then, honestly, when it's winter time, it changes to winter. And then when it's autumn, the flowers change and become like it was wow. Alafu, the daylight savings.
Yeah.
It's 8 o'clock and it's still bright.
Like right now, it's going to 7 and it looks like it's
right.
4.
Exactly. In Kenya, we don't have that. That's one thing that amazed me as well.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah, but I just think summer is not what it looks like. If you're in Kenya, summer is freaking hot. Like,
here in Kenya?
No, here. Yeah, like, summer is crazy hot. It's not how I imagined it. I didn't think like it could
get hot. Like, it's hot. Do you prefer summer or winter?
Summer.
No, I prefer autumn and spring.
Yeah, true. Because sababu summer, like, it's hot.
Kumenyesha, nimechoka na.
Like, it's hot until, you know,
I want to go on picnics.
Yeah,
and do fun kids.
But
things.
At least when it's winter, you can wear jackets to make yourself feel hot.
Yeah.
But when it's summer, you know, you've removed, you just
everything.
Have a bra on.
You're just
but like, you're still burning.
Sweaty.
Like,
summer is crazy.
No, it's but crazy. I feel like, one question I had is, what hardships in friendships here in Australia? Like, do you think your friendships here in Australia are better than the ones that you had in Kenya?
No. For me, Tanya is saying that I don't think my friendships here are as well established. Obviously, because I've been here for a short time.
Yeah. Mm.
But then, like, from the bonds that I've seen people make so far, I feel almost... dispensable somehow. That's what I was saying, like with the culture here, like people are very whatever.
Yeah.
They'd cancel on you, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd value you as a friend in comparison to like a romantic partner. Or I don't know if it's just them as a person, but then it's something that I've collectively noticed. Because like, they'd be like, oh, you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Without like considering my feelings or... I don't know. I just prefer my friendships back at home. That sense of community.
Yeah.
That sense of, oh, you're friends with this one. Or, you know, like when you meet someone and you're with a friend.
Yeah.
And that friend knows them.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is my friend. And then you're awkwardly standing at the back waiting for them to finish that conversation.
Yeah.
It's never going to escalate past that over here.
Yeah.
Because everyone will just... do their own
mind their own business. Yeah.
And but back at home they'd be like, oh yeah, this is my friend, we met here and here, oh actually they like this, you should speak to them, connections,
exactly,
stuff like that. And then you'll find that you're making now a close knit
friendship,
you know.
I feel like friendship, I was telling you guys, like I've realized that making friends it's hard compared to, because like you have to think about so many aspects. Do they like black people or like especially if making friends with black people is a bit easier here because you have something that's in common. But like I couldn't say that I have a multicultural like
friend
set
group.
Of friend group because all my friends most to be honest are mostly black.
Yeah,
but I would have loved to like open up a bit more and get more friends. Exactly. However, where I was studying in Canberra, it was a lot of like cliques. People, as I was telling you, like people have come from the same high school, so like they all know each other. So you can't. It's hard to get into that group.
Oh, especially since Canberra is very, very small.
So I was just like, it's so hard. Like I feel like it was so terrible. Even my mom, when every time she's telling me, try and get friends here in Australia, try and do this and this. I was like, you don't understand when I tell you it's hard.
It's lonely out here.
It's lonely. Upper, it's so lonely. Like, I feel like if you don't actively try to get friends, you can be so lonely forever.
And then it's also that actively, like, putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
In Nairobi, it's easier where... Now, that whole community thing where...
And there's a lot of events back home as well.
Yeah, and since it's smaller, also geographically, I mean, it's... Sydney is so big. For what reason?
Yeah, but are there a lot of events here in Sydney? Maybe there are, and I just don't know. Oh, true.
They suck.
Like, at least in Kenya, we have, like, let's say, Blankets and Wine. You have this. Mm. I feel like they're trying here to have, like, events. But I feel like the problem with the nightlife here and, like, the event culture here
it's exclusive.
And it's the same. Yanni, like, there's nothing that's different. You just go there and dance, and that's
and
it.
And even when you're going to dance, the DJ just plays whatever the fuck
music,
they want.
Yeah.
If it's not like bass, like if it's not an Afrobeats festival, or if it's even it's so hard finding an Afrobeats event in Nairobi. Yeah. I mean, they just play good music. Yeah.
What would you
it's hard
like,
to find good music.
Yeah. What would you like to be different, like when it comes to like, let's say, you know how in Kenya we have Rugby Sevens, and it's Rugby Sevens, everybody goes, like, it's a full-on event.
Yeah.
Like, when you go to there's so many things that you can go for, but, like, what would you feel like if you are given an opportunity today to change, like, the scene here in Australia, what would you make it to be? What would you envision it to be that would be, like, epic for you?
I can't say there's one thing in particular.
Yeah, you can just say.
But then I feel like the vibe of the people obviously now depends on like how the night will feel like.
Yeah.
Because now if everyone is at the corner with their vapes asking for your Instagram without even taking even time to have a conversation with me, but you're out here asking for my Instagram. Yeah. I mean, what's the point? Like I'm literally right in front of you, the real person. But you're asking for my Instagram.
It's true.
It's very surface level. Yeah. I feel like it's very pretentious.
Yeah.
It's okay, not pretentious per se, but it's just shallow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish more people would actually take time to interact with others.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, just keep an open mind and be friendly.
Yeah.
And then also the music.
Yeah.
Music, you change, please. I don't want to listen to Taylor Swift no more in the club.
Yeah.
If I did, I'd just switch on the radio.
Yeah, true. Roy, what would you make different here in Australia?
I have to say the venues.
True.
The venues
are so small, stuffy.
Yay! When you go to the club.
It's hectic. It's horrible. Yeah. Guys, don't shower. You're already in the club. It's
na labda kumenyesha hiyo usiku.
Did you see? Breathe. I don't know what event it was, and then the guy said, please make sure you wear deodorant.
Well, you can't breathe in these events. Like, it's just too stuffy.
Yeah.
I think it's based off on the seasons as well.
Yeah.
So, of course, over summer, I'm sure there'll be more, like, outdoorsy events and all that. But, winter. Pure winter, at least.
Yeah.
I think we just need to find bigger venues.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think warehouse parties are usually pretty chill.
Yeah.
In as much as they're probably going to be far, because you won't find warehouses, you know, around the...
As close, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I feel like for me, what had changed is I feel like we need more creativity. I'm so tired with the same thing. Oh my God. Especially like Burna Boy. Everybody now is putting a Burna Boy poster. I understand the Big Giant is coming, but it's all the same thing. Mm. All right, Big Weekend, like all the same thing. I feel like if people were more creative, like, you know, let's say, as I was telling you, there's this event that I saw in Kenya. It is on like Insta Markets or something where they have the Instagram.
I love what Insta is it called? Market.
Yeah,
oh
they have
God.
Like
okay,
yeah, they have people on Instagram sellers. They all go together and like sell their. They give everyone a stand to sell their stuff or show their creativity and stuff. Or like let's say blankets and wine. Everybody goes with their blankets and you know
stuff like interactive.
Something interactive. I feel like not every day we have to go to the club to dance.
Or is it paint and sip? Yeah. Everyone knows paint and sip.
Yeah,
paint and sip me. 200 bucks per couple. It's... I'm like, first of all, also, that's another thing.
The money.
Like, it's not affordable. It's not guaranteed that you'll have a good time.
It's not guaranteed that you'll enter.
You'll even enter. What?
Yeah. Imagine like Utona. People went there and people didn't enter the club.
Exactly.
Imagine. And you've paid a whole $50.
And then also like how far it is. The Uber, the transport. What? The transport.
Because you the live transport. In the... You live in the... Like,
no, no. Why don't trains run 24/7?
Okay, true.
Why isn't...
It's true.
Why are they switching off at 10 a.m.? I mean, p.m.?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make... A lot of things in Australia don't make sense. And I wish I knew all of these things.
And I feel like... Because I feel like right now, we're in a season where, like, the... Black people are trying to bring up more events and more like, but I feel like I feel like maybe it should be an event like whatever because I feel like you need to like this should be so like a lot of creativity that goes into it. Even the poster, you can just tell that this person has taken a picture and just put it there on Photoshop, and there's nothing that has gone into that. We go there because like it's the only option that we have, or else you'll just stay home and not do anything. But I feel like if people become more creative with the events and more like we'll do so much.
I also feel like if you actually listen to what people want, I feel like that's when you'll have an opportunity to change the scene.
I feel like even in America, you can see in the YouTube videos, they have so many things going on. The 90s event, like there's so much, there's a thing for everyone. There's something for everyone. If you're in this community, there's something for you. Every community has like something for you.
All different. I think, now that's the thing. Just taking time to listen to people and what they want. Leave the club.
Every day club.
Do you know? Oh my gosh, this is so besides the point. But there's this time I had worn like my blonde wig. The one that I wore last week. And everyone just kept touching my hair. I hated it.
Oh, there's a girl who tried to do that for me at work. I was working at the club and I had my short hair. She was like, can I touch your hair? I was like, no. And then she went to touch my hair. I was like, no. It's not because like I don't like. It's just very intrusive. Yeah. Like,
it's very entitled. Yeah. Also, how dare you? I don't even do that to my own.
Yeah,
friends.
I'm like, I've never seen such hair. I'm like, what the hell? Like, yeah, you've seen it now. It's on my head, but don't touch it, because you know sometimes your hair, you've styled it that way.
Yeah.
So if you touch it or you do something, it's gonna now you need gel.
It's gonna mess up.
You need what to fix it? I was like, no,
No, even not that. Like, it's just disgusting. And you know, it was even the security guards,
yeah,
the people who are like letting us in, they were touching my hair. When I'm going down the stairs, people are touching my hair. Do I look like an animal to you?
Clown.
Do I look like a dog?
Yeah.
Who wants to be pet? Yeah. Like, I just keep your hand.
And sure. Another question I have for you guys. Would you say dating here in Australia is easier than Kenya? Me, I would say yes.
I don't know.
Because like, in Kenya,
are also grimy.
Yeah, this is, it's true.
You've been through
it. Well, you know, right? Chaya has been here for almost 6 months, but the thing she's been through, I'm like, where? Like, who are you interacting with?
Chaya, Asha. Nah, you've been through it, man.
Me nakusho tu. Uku, watu, people are deceptive.
No, but like, I feel like in terms of going out, going for dinner dates, I feel like it's unajua in Kenya, maybe unajua mimi nilikuwa bado, I didn't have a lot of experience. I could say my first boyfriend, they asked me out to be their girlfriend. You know, in town, I don't know if I can explain this, there's this park. It's not Uhuru Park. It's this park where people go to do dance shoots or something. I don't know where it is. And then he asked me, I think it's Jivanji or something. It's G. He asked it. he asked me to be, and like, basically, I didn't know my worth. Imagine, I think I was worth chicken and chips. That's what I was worth.
Chips from God!
Yeah, Ali, if the guy, okay, guys, let me tell you the truth. Let me just be honest, yeah. Yanni, that's the first time that the guy I was dating bought me pizza. Let me tell you. I was like, what?
Pizza.
What? I mean, in pizza from Pizza Inn. I was like, you come and take me now. Take me. I was so, you know, like, it's not something that I was used to. Maybe, and I wasn't Amshamba or anything.
Yeah.
But I feel like here in Australia, pizza is just like, oh, it's an everyday thing. But in Kenya, pizza is like a big thing.
Fast food in Kenya is.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, food, yeah, fast food. And but then still, as in, when you worth chips funga.
I was worth a chips funga. It's true.
Guy.
I didn't know my worth.
Me, at least, okay, I don't know if I'm coming like from a privileged standpoint, but my dad was at least able to like help me set a few standards.
I didn't have standards. It's true. It's not, I don't know. Like, it's not that I didn't have standards, but I didn't know what standards were. I don't know if I can explain. Okay. I didn't know that you're supposed to have standards. I was so impressed with the tiniest bit of things. He bought me one day, he went to Galitos and bought me like a sandwich. And oh my God, I couldn't sleep. I was so happy. I was like, oh my God. Let me tell you, I think I was an idiot. You know, I look at myself now, I'm like, wow, Maggie, you've come from so far. You know what I mean? Because, like, my parents, obviously, like, if my mom doesn't know this, but if my mom listens to this and hears this, she'll be like, what?
What am I talking about?
Yeah, like, who is your mother? You know what I mean?
But your parents.
Yeah, but when you're back home, nobody teaches you about dating or, like, telling you this. I wish I had someone who taught me and told me, oh, this is what, like, a man should treat you like this. Yeah. Obviously, you know, they should treat you well and like do good things for you.
But I mean, if at that time, that's what you thought being treated well is. I mean,
you live life.
If you were able to go back in time, you'd do it again.
Yeah, I think I would. I enjoyed that chips. Ile chips, cuckoo. I was that one from Pizza Inn. By the way, Pizza Inn chicken, like, chicken is so good. But I prefer Galitos.
Galitos is like Nando's. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, which one was your best restaurant in Kenya?
Java.
Yeah. But I feel like Java is overrated.
Yeah.
Java is overrated.
It depends. It depends on, like, imagine I can't slander Java because We've been having it for some time.
I feel like yeah, Java is good, but I feel like it's overrated. I don't know. But there's some new restaurants that have come up that I, when I go back, I really want to go.
I
want
to go back to Inti. Yeah. Oh my God. Inti. The sushi place. Wow. The Japanese place.
I've been to a Japanese place that I don't even remember what it's called. Because I went back, when I went back home, we went for like one of my friend's parties. Yeah. And they had, it was along in Westlands, but I don't know what it was. Because I don't know, I didn't even pay attention.
Really?
But it was good. It was the first time I was going to a sushi place in Kenya. Mm. I don't know, I've not experienced a lot in Kenya. I don't know.
You need to. Yeah, I feel like I wanna... now, at this point, I think you'll even have to ask your brother.
I think my brother knows so much, like, because when I was in boarding school the whole time, and then after boarding school, high school, you're also in boarding school, and then immediately after uni,
wait, you were in boarding school in primary?
Yeah,
same.
I was in boarding school.
We're in the same primary, imagine.
Really? Actually, yeah. What primary school are you guys in?
Gillo.
And how comes you guys didn't know each other? Oh, in different classes, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was in a year above?
Yeah, probably.
I went to a primary school in Nyanyuki. You know why?
I was in Gilgit.
I went back home one day because I was a very naughty girl. And then my mom had packed. I got my mom. She packed everything. My box. She had like made a box for me. And then she was like, you're going to high school. To boarding school. So when I was taken to a boarding school. It's called Timau. That's the place. It's Timau.
Oh,
it's close to Meru.
It's close to Meru and close to Nairobi.
Let me tell you, the first time when I went to school, people are like, "Ngai, unajua mimi nimeenda." Hey! Well, let me tell you, Taya, I didn't know if they were speaking English or if they're speaking Swahili, because you know, like the way Meru people talk so quickly, I was like, I couldn't understand what they're saying. So I was given a girl who.
And what class were you in?
I was in class 5. Imagine. And
mine
then
was class 6 second term. I can never forget.
Yeah, and then
Katia Mwaka. Hey, my dad was ready to like nitoke.
My mom, when I went first there, the girl was I was assigned to a girl, and then she was taking me around and she was taking me around, you know, to show me what stuff, and then she was like, "Una umebeba mfuto." Do you know what amfuto is?
No.
Trouser.
Oh, yeah.
Even me, I didn't know. So she was like, she was like, umebeba mfuto? And nikasema, I was like, what? Umebeba mfuto? And police umebeba mfuto? I was like, what do you mean? I cried. I was like, even when my mom entered that school, she was like, what have I done? Because she had already paid school fees. She had already paid everything. I love her. And then the next morning, I went to school, to the dining room. Oh, takunya ndufya. I didn't know what the hell that was. I called my mom. I called my mom. I was like, "Ma, what have I done to you that's this wrong?" Because I didn't know, like, it was such a bad experience. Like, I was so thin. Every time I was going to school, and I had to cut my hair.
Yeah.
Because you were not allowed to have long hair. So like every time I was going back to school, I was crying because I was like, oh my God. And then when I was called to a high school in Nairobi, although I hated it, I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I'm back in the area.
Yeah.
Because guy, I was struggling. I was like, oh my God, my baby, I'm photo. I'll never forget that it was so funny. I asked myself, and then you know, now good thing is when I went that term, people from Nairobi started to come to school, and I was like, oh my God, thank God,
thank
at least
God.
People
like
you can relate
with, interact with.
Yeah, because when you go to schools that are in the village, when you're from Nairobi, people just assume that you're like, I don't know,
you're arrogant.
They treat you very differently.
Yeah, because like even entertainment.
Oh my God.
When you talk in Nairobi, you never get the remote.
Entertainment captain was always from Nairobi.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
But the entertainment back in primary school was so shit.
Ours was Illuminati. Everything Illuminati.
Oh my God.
You go sleep, you're shaking in your bed. And then, you know, Gilgil was a semi-desert.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, guys. Let me ask you.
There were no trees because kila sani kuchuna tu viboko.
No guys, let me. You know, I feel like primary school and high school put me off church.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna like it put me because Babu, yeah, there's true. This culture where if you're not in Christian Union, you're like you're secular, demonic. You're demonic. I don't know your what. And then there's this like okay, in Christianity, you know, like when people pray until like you exorcise people, yeah. And like people, you don't exorcise people when people who are done. I was not strong of faith. So like if you exorcise this person and the demons come to me, like the fuck am I gonna do? You know what I mean?
I'm not gonna be strong of faith.
Yeah,
I'm gonna fall in easy.
My faith is.
I used to think the reason why I was in Gilgil was punishment. Okay, it was from like my dad because he literally
even
waited for
parents.
My mom to travel.
Yeah.
To go to the US. And then he took me to Gilgil.
It's true.
So like my first visiting day where my mom just was crying.
Even me, my first one, my mom cried. Because there's a girl even in our school, she was every night she was waking up, she was thinking, ooh, in our dorms. And me, I've never seen something like this. And my parents are so like I was scared for my life. And then the Christian Union people, honestly, where are they now? I'm not judging anyone, but Leo, where are they now? They'd come and they'd pray, oh my God, in the name of Jesus, they pray. Okay, fair enough. But I feel like those things, you need people who are strong in faith to be around. And I don't know. And then I called my dad, I was like, I don't think I can handle this demonic shit in my life. And my dad was like, anybody can be a witch. Even the person next to you can be a witch. So you just have to survive.
Oh, thank you so much, Dad.
I feel
for
like
the motivation.
The trauma was real. Especially in high school, I feel like that shit is too much.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Yeah.
I feel like they overdo it so much.
And then also in high school, some of the internalized homophobia, yet you're gay. Wow.
Like even in my high school there was it's true. In my high school there were girls who were like they were gay, right?
Yeah.
But because it was a girls' school, obviously like I don't know, when people they would go and tell the teachers and like it was around KCAC time, they were ostracized, like they were told they were expelled from the school, and then during KCAC they had to go do like the exams in the dining room and everybody is like outside.
So unashanga kwani unafikiria nini?
Yeah. It was so bad. Like, and right now, you know, when you're in school at that time, you don't like my mind was not open enough to realize, okay, this is not
It's not right.
I was like, I wasn't thinking about it in like, I wish like, cause I didn't know, you know.
We didn't know. Yeah. I feel like we were also learning a lot about ourselves.
Yeah.
And we were just starting to like clock in like, hey, I mean, this is sketchy enough as it is.
Yeah.
But then even me, I realized, hey, this shit is really wrong.
Yeah.
Like when I was probably in form three, when I was already suspended for it.
Oh, you're suspended for
being gay. Really?
God.
Nah, Msongari though. Yeah. That was a Catholic.
I feel bad because I like, you know, when the girls that I know they were suspended, I didn't feel anything, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, why would you do that? You know what I mean? But like right now I regret it because I'm like it's so bad because you know people feel so alone, and when you've come here in Australia right now I realize loneliness is a bad thing and you can go into depression because they are literally by themselves. You're not allowed to greet them, you're not allowed to talk to them, you're not
That's
allowed
horrible.
To it was so horrible. And like especially if it's a time where you're finding yourself now, you start thinking
about you even start saying Yeah, you deserve that.
And we had a situation.
And that's disgusting. Yeah. Like, that's how bad the homophobia was.
And it still is, I think, in Kenya. You remember I was telling you, like, how the
it's
government...
It's because of this fucking Ruto, man.
Everybody is trying to tell me. I didn't know even the elections are this year, to be honest. That's how far.
No way.
I'm so sorry, guys.
What?
Like, I just found out. I'm so sorry. The pressure to work here is so hard. I don't keep up. But it's true. But yeah, so what was it even saying? Forgotten.
Yeah, homophobia in high schools. Yeah. When people were, you know, stigmatized.
Yeah, I wish I did some. I couldn't do anything, but like I wish I just was there to support people. Because like right now, you wouldn't catch me like...
ever doing
ostracizing
that.
People because of like who
their
they
sexuality
are.
And then why are people so into other people's business of like who they're fucking,
true,
or who they're attracted to,
yeah,
or what they don't like?
Facts. But yeah, but in our high school, like, we had a situation where the pastor was coming and praying for the homophobic people, and it was this famous
homophobic
pastor
people?
Yeah, like the gay people, sorry. And it was so bad.
I was like,
no, it was so sorry. No, he was so bad, and he was praying for everyone. And then I had a roommate who was Muslim. I don't know what she was doing in church, you know, those people who just go for vibes.
Yeah,
she was there praying. She was just there smiling, you know. She was just having a good time.
Yeah.
And then it came to a point where, like, I don't know, that's why I feel like sometimes it was a lot of pretense when it came to the Christian community, like, in high school. So, the pastor was praying. And then the girl started crying and wailing and falling on the floor, yeah? So people, everyone was falling. Let me tell you, Roy, I'm not lying. That day on, in the hall, everyone was falling. So Mimi, Nimes Mama, I'm just there standing. I'm like, okay, when will it catch me so that even me, I fall down because I don't want to be, I don't want to be by myself. Yeah. And then my friend, remember, she's Muslim, so she's not used to seeing people fall like this. Let me tell you, we decided let us go out of the hall through the back door.
Yeah.
And then when we went there, the pastor was like, the people who are leaving this hall now are witches. They are witches. We looked at each other. We were like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? But he wants you to stay in a room where you're not comfortable, because the prayers that were happening there, like, were so weird. And I was like, it's wrong, because sometimes the older people don't realize that they are, like, instilling some fears in to the younger
children.
Generation.
The children, not even younger, the children.
Yeah.
You're literally 12, 13, 14, 15. Bro, what is a grown-ass man who is almost in the mid, in literally half of their life, like 50s, in their 50s. Just doing this BS. And as we used to have this pastor teacher who used to beat people senseless. But he was the pastor.
Would you guys beat your kids now?
Nah.
I wouldn't have kids, but I still would not punish them physically.
I realize the importance of talking.
Yeah.
True.
Having an emotional connection with your child.
I really want that, because me, I feel like me nearly chap one. Like, I was beaten until sometimes. Because
of your gil.
Yeah. Even in school, like, I feel like the beatings in school were too much. In Paka, there's a time I told my teacher, if you beat me, I'll have to get you arrested. It is too much. It is for the most useless things. Like, no, that was a good thing about having a dad in the Air Force. I was going to tell my dad. Because, like, some things, like, oh, you've gotten 98%, you beat me. Like, in Kenya, it's too much. It's too much.
You were you beaten uko kwa nyayo. Kwa nyayo. Did you have that teacher, Mr. Ratemo? I'll never forget him. He was my Swahili teacher, and I used to suck asshole.
No, Swahili was a hard but Swahili that we were learning in school was useless. Do you even use it now?
Ngeli.
One that used to disturb me was No, the one that used to sauti guna. So you're like, yeah. Hey, kakungu.
Kakalaini. Shit, man. What is that? What's that?
What such books did you guys do in high school?
Siku. Hey, I took fanya siku.
I did The River and the Source.
Even me, yeah.
Even Caucasian Chalk Circle,
yeah. Even us.
Did you like that? Because I really liked that. Oh, I love that book.
I hated Caucasian Chalk
really?
Circle.
Really, that's a good book.
I like The River and the Source, though.
Oh my god, The River and the Source. I was looking for it so that I can reread it because, yeah. Like, it was so good.
I think I have a copy in my room.
Somewhere. Really?
Yeah, but then not. Yeah, obviously.
Oh, so what will that like?
Hey, after PDF online.
No, I actually looked for a PDF and they don't have it on Amazon, like anything. Damn. I think it's because it's an African writer.
I hate that.
I loved it. And there's one, The River Between. Oh, have you guys read that book? No. It was a set book, but it was for a long time.
I didn't do that one.
Yeah,
what times did you do?
Justice and Betrayal in the City.
Oh, I hated that one. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand. It was that one for, it was like.
I just knew there was corruption.
Yeah. I didn't like that one. And the Swahili ones, I forget what it was called. It was this.
Damu Nyeusi.
Kidagati Mwamwaze. I see that one. Yeah. And there's Damu Nyeusi, the one with the many stories.
My favorite one was this one of this wife. Who come from Ocha.
Yeah, I remember that. And I liked that story. I hated that one for Michael Jackson. You remember there was a story that the zombies came and ate them, but it was in Swahili.
I didn't even understand that one.
Sorry?
Was it in the graveyard? Or?
Yeah. But I don't know what it was. I don't even remember.
I used to sleep.
Oh, but I liked Kidaga Kimem was there.
Did you guys do Mstai Kimem?
I did it.
I think so.
But it was so complicated. It was so complicated. But at Caucasian Chalk Circle, I read it and reread. Like, I loved the drama in that book.
The drama. The part that caught me was yo alimpea nyonyo na
No, but like
it was the symbolism. I get it.
What?
It was Dipset Winter.
Grusha.
Oh, but like
I come back.
The kid wasn't even half.
Mrs. Chikom Toto, when you okay, but I cannot also leave the child just lying there.
But did you guys
so have... come Vurutam Toto Ka Solomon?
That's did you see how crazy.
Caucasian Chalk Circle was a good book.
Deep kidogo. It's deep. So unapea mtoto nyonyo na hakuna kitu.
And did you guys have the people who used to come and act it out?
Yeah.
Oh my god. It hit. Oh my god, but I loved The River and the Source. Like Akoko and Akoko, I don't know. Oh my god, the storyline was epic. Yeah, it was so good. I loved that book. But the only subject that I looked forward to was English because of the set books, and I always passed English. Swahili was a bit hard for me. Swahili was a bit hard for me.
Swahili was also very hard for me. Like Kwanzaa,
and it's so funny because it is our official language. Lakini ni ngumu.
You even know.
Yeah, I know. You know, there's a day I got 45% out of 100. Even my dad was like, umetoka Mombasa lakini una fail Swahili, because like the things that you're learning are completely useless. Like completely useless. And I hated that one where you read and then you have to go back and answer the questions from I don't know, what was it called? Is it a composition? It's not insha. What are we doing inshas in?
It's like an essay.
What are we doing inshas in high school?
Okay, it wasn't exactly called an insha.
It wasn't really creative writing. It was more of like
set book.
Yeah.
How was it called?
It was it was like you read the book.
Dondo.
Oh yeah. Dondo. They give you a. Oh my god. Oh my god. That shit was so scary. Because remember, you don't know where it's coming from. Right. Yeah. Anakuliza. The girl was walking this and this. Where did this come from?
I used to write my own thing. Creative writing come through.
Who said these words?
Yeah.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, like,
it's a book with 15 characters.
Pressure is getting. Like, I was feeling like every time. Like,
now, how is it we're able to read 3-4 books per subject? and still like pass?
No, but what? I feel like, you know, like, listen, like, that's what's making, I feel like that's why when people come from Kenya, as I know, to Australia to study here, it's so easy for them to pass.
Literacy.
It's so easy for them to pass.
And then, I don't know, like everyone in general is just learning.
Yeah.
And, hey, then, but, and then when you see like people here who are like, do you even speak English?
Oh. Yeah, me, I used to fail math. Like math,
even
I used to fail.
Me too.
Yeah,
my, even chem. I never even used to try that.
Chemistry, one. I asked my lecturer, like, there's a day I remember he was called Mr. Osumba. Mm. I asked him, like, where will this take me? I used to hate organic chemistry. Organic chemistry.
Do you know, I never even used to open my textbook.
So, like, kasababu, you just have to pass KCSE. It backfired on me when I was doing the experiment. The one for everyone, it was pink, mine was brown. I was like, well, this one I've just failed.
I found out my beaker had cracked and it was leaking the whole time. I need titration.
They sent you up.
I swear.
They
I couldn't do anything.
So what did you do?
So I just wrote what I found.
Yeah.
I wrote what I found.
Sometimes if you are lucky and you found like the experiment was one that you've studied before, you just write what you know.
You remember, yeah.
Yeah, but like me, Miyango, it backfired. And you know, it's so pressure because like I was seeing everybody's experiment has turned pink. I remember very vividly.
Yeah, I used to mix my own things.
Yeah, and mine was brown. I was like, you know, I was like, maybe I'm the one who's right.
or like you remember physics? Who took physics here?
Me, I took it, but I dropped it because for geography.
For me now, those things that used to measure voltage and stuff like that, how faulty they were.
Mm. I feel like people who took physics really struggled. Because you have to
spring sijika imestrechiwa shida.
And maths, I used to struggle. I used to struggle, but I don't know how I passed in high school. I think it's because it's true when they tell you that, you know, in public school during a KCSE, we are fed the answers. True. To be honest, I'm not going to lie to you. Because during KCSE, every night after class, after you have your tea, we are like, you have your dinner, you're taken to the dining hall, and the teacher teaches you, like, you're not told, they don't tell you, or like, they don't tell you they are teaching you the exam. They are like, you have to listen to what I'm telling you tonight. So the KCC, they're like, listen to what I'm teaching you tonight. So they teach you like our when it came to the literature English, they were like, listen, the exact thing that we were taught that night before English is exactly how it came in the exam.
No way.
Exactly.
I think even us for English,
exactly. And even that's why I was upset in chemistry, because like it was exactly the same. That's why I passed. I think I passed because the Lord was with me. Because if the it is Lord. Not for God, I think I was even in CRE, the teacher was like, come, let me tell you this. And we all stayed in the hall. They teach in the hall late in the night. Like, you stay there, you do the exams, you do the questions one by one until you finish. And this, you know, in boarding school, the teacher used to live in school.
Yeah.
So they'd leave school at like 12, 1 a.m. With the form fours. You'd make sure you finish the whole paper, and then she tells you, make sure you note this down, yeah? Tomorrow morning, think about it again. And then you find it in the exam.
Yeah, I love it.
Private school, Leakage. Country late.
Missy Kukua private school.
Yeah, mine was private, so like we didn't get any of that.
Sorry, my friend.
But then you didn't have any leakage at all. Because you remember chemistry leakage to Lipewa. And it was Msongari.
But I feel like leakage in Kenya, kuna time it was so bad, until I was just thanking God that during my time there was leakage.
Wow. What's this year? My cousin was in Triple S.
Oh, Sunshine School.
Hey!
Oh, 2015 is my year. 2015 was my year.
2015, 2016.
2015 was my year.
Hey, the candidates at that time in my school.
Yeah.
Everyone had a phone. They were taking selfies with us. With the teachers. They had leakage.
Everyone. I feel like that's the time in my school. 150 people had A's. 150 people. That's why people can't even get to med school, because everyone had A's. There's no space in the schools. Like, everyone was cheating. 2015 was a good... Until the Minister of Education was changed.
When Matiang'i came
in. Hey, I even told my brother, well, for you, I'm so sorry, my friend, because it looks like it's going to be tough.
You finished in 2015.
Yeah, I finished in 2015. Like, that one, leakage was everywhere. And then I was so scared that they were not giving us leakage, because you hear boys from Alliance, they're getting leakage. As even people who say Alliance people are chops and everything, it's a lie. It's all leakage. It's all leakage.
Uongo.
But I was going to ask you two more questions before we wrap up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I know you'd love to go back to Kenya.
Yeah.
Roy, would you go back to Kenya?
As for now, I think just weighing your options is, it's better if I stay here and see what I make out of it. Because if I go back to Kenya, I know my dad will be just find a job. And it's going to be the same thing I'm doing here anyway. So it's better if I work here.
Yeah.
And I don't have that stress for my parents.
You like being away from home?
Yeah, I prefer being away from home.
Really? That's
a
first. The independence.
Yeah, 100%. I really prefer being away from home.
Because Bobo, I feel like sometimes in your home, especially for boys, your dads are on your cases. Like, every day is fights, stress.
Bro, I turned 18.
Yeah.
I couldn't even ask my dad for credit anymore. Yeah. I didn't make credit. Wow.
Oh my God.
He was like, find a job and get yourself your own credit. When I was your age, I was burning charcoal.
And I was telling the other guy.
In this economy?
Yeah. No, every parent was, you know, when they were eight, they were building houses. They are walking through the Mara Serena to go to the bush to go to school.
They were number one.
Parent, was your parent number one? Even my parent was number one. Every parent in Kenya was number one.
Like my dad was number one. He was the head boy.
Yeah.
Even me, my dad was CG, the mouse. I don't know why he was a mouse boy.
Exactly. They were everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
And I can tell you, every parent in Kenya says that.
And they want. Wonder why we're such good liars.
Yeah.
They're like, ni marafikza. No, it's you.
No, and even my parent, sometimes my mom would be like, Maggie, I'm very intelligent. I did this. Then I went and asked her a maths question. You know, it took her 2 days to finish that math. I was like, what is going on here? What are you looking at? And then they start saying, the times are different. No, things have changed.
The syllabus is different. I used to do, I don't know what. Hey, my friend.
There's just a time even I went to ask my dad a maths question. Aki, he was doing it backwards. You know those people who do, instead of saying 1 + 1 = 2, he'll be like, 3 - 1 = 2+. I'm like, you're confusing me. And then he gets angry if I don't understand what he's saying. So I feel like, for me, even I agree with what you're saying, because when I was back home, Aki, I was fighting with my parents.
Even
when you come home late, fight. When you do this, fight. Every day to ni makelele. Like, it was so, like, I was getting anxiety.
Me, I'm already...
Like, it's even a problem just getting out of your room.
Yeah.
You're like, let me just stay.
Well, you're staying even me. Ama, when you're in the house and your parents are not there, when they come, straight to a bedroom.
Direct.
Yeah. It's
direct.
Or you're just chilling on the living room table.
Yeah.
And then your mom comes home.
Yeah.
Just say hi.
Yeah, I feel like here I like the fact that people here I'm not saying in Kenya we are not, but like people here are a bit closer to their families. Like you see people going for dinners with their families or like just bonding in their house.
Yeah.
Me, like I never had, I feel like I used to live in fear more than.
Yeah, me too. It's fear. It's not even respect.
It's fear. And I understand
you want peace.
Yeah,
you don't want problems always.
But I tell you, like, my brother is the same way, because if I, like, right now when he came, I asked him, do you miss home? He's like, no. He's like, I'm better off here.
Because
every day it's just noise. He was getting pressure from home. And I was like,
I used to go and stay at my sister's house if it gets too overwhelming.
Yeah,
like if everyone's fighting at home, I'm like, Kiki, I don't have the mental capacity for this. Can I just come stay at yours for like 2-3 weeks?
And I feel like back home, our parents don't really understand the concept of being depressed, or like, because I'm looking when we're being stressed, my parents will be like, kila mtu is going through depression. You see, we're in Kenya, everybody's going through it.
My mom also mentioned that yesterday, like I was on a call with her.
Yeah.
And she was like, you daughter, just stay in Australia, just finish your studies, then you can just finish your studies and then you can come and visit home. Then I was like, but I actually really miss home. Then she's like, you don't remember how you were before you left, you were depressed and stuff. And I'm like, aya kumbe anaweza kumbuka, I wasn't feeling well mentally. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was a foreign concept for them. But I don't know. They understand. It's just that
I feel they refuse for me, to. I just don't know. Sometimes, let me ask you guys this one question. Do you guys feel a bit, okay, do you feel guilty being here in Australia? Let me explain it. Sometimes when, I don't know, when you're back here, okay, we've studied, we are studying, you know, our parents are paying a lot of money for school fees.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe your parents maybe have an expectation of you. And then your parents will be like, you know, I've spent so much money on you. I've done this for you. I've done this for you. And you're doing this. Sometimes I'm like, it wasn't, like, isn't, are you not my mom?
Exactly. Like, this
isn't,
is what,
it your responsibility to do this for me? But, like, sometimes I feel like, without knowing, sometimes our parents can make us feel so guilty. Like, Kwani Mimi coming to Australia is a bad thing.
It's not even guilty. They just, like, okay, yeah, it's guilt. Yeah, it's definitely guilt.
It's that one, like,
and then you just, like, am I now a burden?
Like, or your parents will be like, I've denied myself so much so that you can come here to study in Australia. And I'm like, I appreciate, and you're not even, you know, if we were bad kids, imagine we would have done so much. I wouldn't so even be struggling in school. But the fact that we are still trying and we are still in school, like, I feel like sometimes, like our parents might forget, like, it's their responsibility to educate us, their responsibility, and we have already, we've taken that in and we are doing our best. But, like, sometimes I feel like they have such high expectations. Umeona mtoto wa huyu amefanya hivi,
acha kuangalia mtoto wa huyu.
They have done this, they have done this. I'm like, I'm not that person, and I will never be that person. But yeah, and my last question was, do you guys feel like, let's say, for example, creatively, you see here in Kenya the way the YouTube space is becoming so, like, booming. Like, have you guys been seeing, like, do you guys watch, like, Kenyan YouTube videos and stuff?
Sometimes,
Everyone is making it, like, especially the media industry in Kenya is so, like, it's up there, it's right now. Do you feel like it's easier for you, let's say, right now, to make it here in Australia, or it would be easier for you to make it in Kenya?
Obviously, like, working in the creative industry is hard itself, because you need recognition for that. You need, like, a large group of people. You just need to find your niche. You find you find your audience. Or if you want to, like, pursue a creative thing, other times you don't even have to, like, you know, market yourself like that. But then I feel like I would prosper even there. It would be harder. It would take a lot more effort. Because a lot of
I have
many creative,
especially like your Instagram, Roy, or like your creativity, even you, Tanya. I feel like if you, I don't know, but I feel like if you're in Kenya, it would be like this. It would grow faster. What do you think? I don't know.
I just think it's a matter of chance, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because, like, even most of the guys right now who are booming, it was like, they just uploaded this one video, then it blew up.
Yeah.
They went on doing it.
Yeah.
But I think it's harder in Kenya, personally.
Really?
It's harder.
Yeah. Why do I think different?
It's so hard.
May I feel like if I was in Kenya, I'd be so far. I don't know.
Anyway, like, it's always about the mentality, but then, like, in terms of, like, how people treat creatives.
Yeah.
Okay, true. Because
it's hard. Yeah. And then also, let's not even talk about, like, you know, paying with experience. Let's not even talk about, like, how they expect you to have certain expectations. But that you cannot fulfill immediately. Like, I have a friend who is a stylist.
Yeah.
And who's a designer.
Mm.
And then they'd be like, no, we cannot give you payment only after, but then, you know, you do need money for clothing to style the stage. You need money to, like, just buy equipment. You need to
all that.
And then they're just like, no, we can't do that for you. Or it's even resources, like, they'd be hired to shoot at an event, like, take Polaroid pictures for people, which is a very cool idea. Like, you pay 200 bob for a Polaroid picture or 150 or whatever cost.
Yeah.
And then little by little, like someone steals your idea and they're like, yeah, we don't want to pay you anymore.
Yeah.
It's just little things like those. Just
I had such a different concept. I thought it's easier to... Because I feel like, okay, if you compare Australia to other countries, let's say US and UK, to be honest, I feel like Australia is a bit behind. I feel like in the US, especially creatively, or the UK, oh my God, you will go so far. Like, there's so much versatility.
Okay, not love, but...
Yeah, when it comes to the creative like space, it's been like embraced so much compared to here in Australia. Yeah, Australia, I feel like... and there's not so many opportunities, and you literally have to fight your way through it, and like there's not so much support. Like, you know how they in the UK and the US they have like events for creatives, like to teach you, even like if you're interested in doing this, they teach you how to do this, they teach you how to shoot, or like they bring all the, like, let's say photographers together to interact and like share ideas, all the YouTubers, YouTube events, you know, shit like that. I feel like, I don't know, but I feel like in South Africa, Kenya, the YouTubers there like have money now, and I don't know,
of course they have money, but then it also took some effort. You just can't see the surface.
Maybe I don't be like, see the surface. Hey,
this is what it is. I feel like a lot of people struggle. And then also, I also had a friend who's a fashion designer.
Yeah.
And like she teamed up with one of her photographer friends. And 1, 2, 3 shoots, like things go well, But then there was this time, like this person asks for something under very short notice.
Mm-hmm.
The designer starts preparing, Then when they meet, like, they start treating them funny. They don't even post the pictures. Yeah. Like, it's such BS. Other times, they're not even paid enough.
Yeah.
Like, it's really... True. Other times, you can get really good gigs and get that money.
It's a hit.
But then other times, you just...
Yeah. It's a hit.
I guess that's the thing about, like, being freelance.
Yeah. Would you ever think about being a freelancer?
Aren't you already a freelancer?
I am already a freelancer.
Yeah.
Freelance is not easy. But at the same time, let's say like taking into modeling.
Mm.
I feel like personally, I'd prefer being freelance compared to, you know, signing a contract with like an agency. Mm. And it's usually like, say, you know, you can't work with any other agency for the next 3 years or... You know, if you want to do like any other projects outside your whatever they're giving you, like you have to ask for their permission. It's kind of limiting. Yes. Yeah. It's just bullshit. So personally, freelance is just the way to go.
No creative freedom. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But like if you prefer being in management, under management, sorry.
I want a management for my podcast. Like,
Not for your podcast, but
no, like for especially like maybe this platform, because like I want it to grow, to be honest. Yeah. And sometimes I have ideas, but you know, sometimes you need that guidance or like creative direction, and I need someone to help me like find people, especially like because my podcast is interview based or like interacting with other people. Right now, like I'm really limited, or who am I gonna invite, or like who would want to speak to me, you know what I mean? So I need someone a bit who will help me and be like, oh, who you can reach out and interact with people on my behalf as well. But I feel that comes in due time, because I feel like when you have someone who's in the industry, it can get you sponsorships, it can get you like collaborations with different brands and stuff.
Yeah.
So like that's the intention, like moving forward. But right now, podcasting for me is a hobby, because I like talking to people.
Yeah. And it's great.
Yeah, I feel like I have good conversations.
It's great. I really like it. I love coming to your home.
I think you must have my word like 20 times today.
No, it's because Maggie is such an amazing person. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I think we will wrap up the podcast now yeah. because I've looked and it's already an hour 50 minutes.
Imagine. Yeah. It's already 2 hours.
But thank you guys so much for coming to the podcast today. I think it's been such a funny one. It's been a good one. I think it's good to like talk to people like who you can understand and relate to.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys will come for another episode. 100%. Do you guys want to plug your Instagrams again?
Well, tulionga kusu Instagram.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
Okay.
You? All right. You can find me at _Nginye.
Mm-hmm.
And also at Totally Roy for pictures.
Yeah. And people can go for Roy. He has good film photography. Amazing. So if you want someone to take your photos, make sure events. For special events. Invite him. Thank you so much guys for coming, and I'll catch you guys next time for the next episode. Let's say bye guys.
Bye.
Oh my god.